Mark chapter 15 and verse number 6. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. The multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answering them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests were delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we do a Bible study, Lord, on this unique subject tonight, that you'll meet with us, teach us some things. Lord, I feel like on Wednesday nights we've tried to be a biblical voice, a scriptural voice, a voice of reason in what has become a very unreasonable time, a voice of sanity in a time of insanity. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help our country, dear God. Help us to have a biblical viewpoint of the things that have transpired and are transpiring in our country. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to take a look at this subject tonight, kind of an unusual message, but pertinent to what we're facing right now. I'm going to show you what the Bible has to say about rioting, and in particular, the mob mentality. You say, preacher, does the Bible say some things about that? It sure does. You know, the Bible word for rioting, as we would describe today, is the word insurrection. Insurrection. And that means to stand over against, to rush upon as one in with the intent of assaulting or tearing something up, tearing something down. One of the reasons that Barabbas was in jail was because of the crime of insurrection. We know three things about Barabbas from this portion of Scripture. Let me lay a little foundation here. First of all, he was a notorious criminal. Say, how do you know he was a notorious criminal? Well, if you're Pilate and you're wanting them to choose Barabbas over somebody else over Jesus, then you're probably not going to bring somebody that's committed a misdemeanor. This was a man that was involved in insurrection. And number two, he was bound in prison. He had been bound in prison. And by the way, if you break the law, that's where you ought to be, bound in prison. And so he had broken the laws by committing insurrection, by rioting, and being part of those that stirred up a riot. But it's interesting that his rioting had resulted in something much worse, the murder of an innocent man. Because the Bible says that he committed murder in the insurrection. Now, I don't know, since he was a ringleader of this, whether or not he created the riot as a diversion in order to be able to settle a score or kill somebody that he had a vendetta against, or whether or not it just occurred because the violence and the rioting got out of hand. But we see that it landed him in jail. So Barabbas was a notorious criminal. He was bound and in prison. His rioting had resulted in something much worse, the murder of an innocent man. Now, that opens up the subject and I think defines what we're going to talk about today. But there's two riots in the book of Acts that are recorded in some detail. I'm going to have you go back and take a look at these two riots. There are several riots in the book of Acts, but there's two that's described in some detail. One is in Acts chapter 19, and the other was in Acts chapter 21, and then again part of it in 22. So let me have you go back to Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. I'd like to do a Bible study on this and get some biblical perspective. You know, like I said, I'd like to be a biblical, scriptural voice. We can shed some light, some biblical light upon some of the things that are being done in our country today. I have a sign that hangs in my garage. Matter of fact, I have a lot of signs that hang in my garage. But one of them in particular, I couldn't remember exactly how it was worded. My poor wife, she gets the strangest phone calls and helps me out. I said, hey, there's a sign just as you're walking through the sliding door off to the left. And it says something about never underestimate, and I can't remember the rest of it. So she took a picture, went out in the garage, took a picture, text it to me. What does it say, preacher? Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Seems somehow appropriate for the subject tonight. In Acts chapter number 19, we read about a riot that occurred in Ephesus, a Gentile city. If you'll begin in verse number 23, we'll read this part of the story. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. When Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Why? Because something had taken over called a mob mentality. Listen to what they're doing. Verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Did you get that? And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." When the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly, for ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, there are deputies, let them impede one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now, if you go over to Acts chapter 21, we're going to do a little bit of Bible reading. That's good. This is Bible study night. And I want to read a little bit about this other riot that occurs then in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter number 21, verse 27, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." Notice what's in parentheses. "For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." Oh, they saw this Gentile he had with him in some other city. So they just went ahead and decided they would tell them that he's probably with him and he probably took him in there. Sounds like a lot of good information. Sounds like no confusion. Sounds like no shuffling around, altering of the facts. Sounds like to me somebody's trying to stir something up. Look at verse 30. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him," who? The men that stirred it up? No, the multitude they stirred up. "And as they went about to kill him, tidings came into the chief captain of the band and to all Jerusalem, that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Who immediately took soldiers and the centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain of the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty of the tumult, he commanded them to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." But as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers?" Where did he get that? Well, you better think about where he got it. And Paul said, "I am a man which was a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood upon the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when they were made a silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew, saying, and he begins in verse number 1 to make his defense. That carries on to verse 21. We read in verse 22, "And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out," notice what they're doing. Are you picturing this? "And cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. The chief captain commanded to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him." And then Sunday morning we talked about the next conversation, what Paul said to them about being a Roman citizen, how that changed the temperature in the room. Say, "Preacher, why in the world do we read all these things?" Because I really do believe, I don't just say it, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's something that can happen when a group of people get stirred up that would not happen in a moment of sanity and would not happen if these people were individually thinking intellectually and not being driven by lies, not being stirred up, not being manipulated, and we're thinking instead of running on emotions. And folks, we need to understand that this matter of insurrection is a serious thing. Barabbas, the most notorious criminal, one of the things that was on his rap sheet was insurrection. Why did they want to make sure that he was in jail? Because he was known to not just participate in insurrection, but to stir up insurrections. So you know what they did to keep the peace? They put the man in jail. That's where he belongs. That's where he should be. If you go about, and the purpose of your life is to go about stirring up people, to encourage them to be lawbreakers, to destroy property, to attack civil authorities, and to break into stores and loot, and if you are the one behind that, you should be jailed. You should be jailed. And that's where Barabbas was when we read the story. Now, I want to teach you some things from the Bible, some Bible principles concerning this idea of rioting, and especially having a biblical understanding of a mob mentality. Let me start with this truth. Riots in the Bible were always orchestrated. They were always orchestrated. It wasn't just a bunch of random people that decided at the same time to get offended by something that happened or something that was said. There was always a group behind the scenes that was stirring up the insurrection, stirring up the unrest. Folks, I could take you to the trial of Jesus Christ, when the crowd gathered at Pilate's hall. And you know what you see? You see a group of people that are manipulated by a few. There's a handful of people that are going around changing the room, the temperature in the room, whispering lies, and getting a group of Jews to say, "Turn loose a man who is a murderer, a known criminal, and someone who's going to probably come in within our midst and cause riots. Turn him loose and crucify Jesus Christ." They did not even make a sane decision because they didn't make it intellectually. They made it emotionally after they had been manipulated. And so what we're seeing today and what you're reading about in the paper and what you're watching on TV, you know what? The Bible principles are still there. They're still there today. You know what? Riots are usually orchestrated. We read in both of these situations that there were instigators that were behind this, and they had a definite agenda and a definite purpose for trying to cause unrest. By the way, in this story we read in Acts chapter number 21, let me show you this real quickly. These instigators in this particular story, this riot happened in Jerusalem. Look at verse 27. "But It says, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of where? Oh, wow. So these weren't Jews from Jerusalem? Really? So they came in from out of town? And they had an agenda? Now, you know what? The people in these different communities are going to have to make a decision at some point that are being manipulated into rioting. They're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to keep letting outsiders come in and use us as pawns in their little game? Because we see the exact same thing here. These weren't Jerusalem Jews that were getting stirred up about this. These were the Jews that had been following the Apostle Paul through his missionary journeys. And you know what? If you read all through the scripture, there they came. And they followed him from town to town. And in every town, you know what they did? They tried to stir up an insurrection or riot against Christianity and against this Bible preacher. So we see that riots are usually orchestrated. And they are orchestrated sometimes from people that are outside of the community. Number two, it is orchestrated by those that have a hidden agenda. We're right there with the chapters pretty close to each other, so we'll bounce back and forth a little bit. Go, if you will, to Acts chapter number 19. And let me remind you, Demetrius, a silversmith, his primary concern was not the preaching of the gospel. His primary concern was not defending what he called the great goddess Diana. Can I suggest to you, and I think everybody picked up on it when we read it, didn't you? That he had a deeper motive here. Because he begins to speak against the Apostle Paul and against the preaching of the Bible. Verse 25, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Isn't the love of money the root of all evil? Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost all throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught. Oh, he finally gets around to remembering the great goddess Diana. Well, no, the honest truth is he's worried about another god in his life, his pocketbook. He's worried about money. Now, folks, listen to me. A lot of times what you're seeing when you see a riot is not really the reason. The reason they may be shouting about is not really the reason that it's happening. And so, you know what? The Bible's teaching us this. You know what it's saying? It's saying you better stop listening to what the people on the front lines are screaming. You might want to go back and start investigating who got them to come up on the front lines and what the real agenda is. All right? Is this helping you so far? It's orchestrated by those with a hidden agenda. Isn't it amazing how the Bible still speaks to what we're facing today? A riot is orchestrated with half-truths and outright lies. Let's flip over back to Acts 21. Look at verse number 28. Acts 21, verse 28. Crying out, men of Israel. And I like this, comma. Help! Men of Israel, help! In other words, we need your help. This guy's getting by with something. There's been an injustice. There's been something that needs to be done. And the only way we're going to get it right is if we get a bunch of you to help us. So here they are. Here they are instigating a mob mentality. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place. An absolute lie. An absolute lie. But you see, when you have an agenda, you don't care whether or not what you're saying is the truth, because the truth isn't what really matters. Accomplishing your agenda is what matters. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what sane people do when there's unrest? You know what sane people do when there's a disagreement? You know what sane people do when somebody's shouting on this side, this is what happened, somebody else shouts on this side, this is what's happened? You know what sane people do? They take a step back, they take the emotion out of it, and they look at these disturbing little things called facts. And then they make an intelligent decision about the situation. And you know what? I can do that without the help of a mob. Okay, I don't need a riot to help me to think. Matter of fact, listen, think about this. A riot is run on emotion. A riot is run on half-truths. A riot is created because of out-and-out lies. I mean, they want you so busy out there throwing rocks and tearing down statues that you don't ever take the time to actually read and look at statistics and figure out what the facts are. Okay, but facts are stubborn things. You know what? After all the emotions run at their course, intelligent people still can look at the facts and figure out what is really going on. And so we see a riot is orchestrated with half-truths and outright lies. No, Paul is not there, and he's not there teaching all men everywhere. That's kind of an exaggeration, wouldn't you say? I don't think he taught all men everywhere. I followed his journey. He missed a few towns here and there. All men, but let's not worry about the facts. Let's just get into exaggerations. I mean, let's just keep throwing stuff against the wall and hope something sticks. Now, folks, listen to me. We're going to need a lot, and Americans are going to need a lot of discernment between now and November. Because there's a lot of crazy things that are being said that are out-and-out lies. There's a lot of crazy things that are being said that are half-truths. There's a lot of things that are being said that are exaggerations. Can I just say this? I pray, come on, I pray that there's enough intelligent Americans left in this country that aren't going to run to the polls driven by whatever the last emotion they felt, but would actually take the time to read and discover some facts. No, all men everywhere against the people. This is what he's teaching. He's teaching all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place. Well, wow, there you go. In other words, Paul has preached about you, all the people. He's condemned all of you. I want you to start taking this personally. You need to take this personally. Isn't that crazy? And against the law, no, he hasn't. And this place, we talk about Jerusalem, it's talking about the temple. And furthermore, brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Now, this is where they base this statement on. That's why I like that God kind of just lays it out for us, because we don't know what's going on here. For they had seen before with him in the city a Trophimus. Oh, whoa, what? So these Asian Jews from Asia, had in one of the previous cities seen some guy that was a Gentile, an Ephesian, with Paul. And since he was there with him in that other city, let's just go ahead and throw this accusation out there and see if anybody will believe it, because you know what? We've got their emotions stirred. Are you thinking about this? Now, folks, listen to me. This is a good lesson, not just about the characteristic traits of a riot, but this is a good character. These character traits are good for us to help us to make good, proper, right decisions in our lives. You know, sometimes folks come to you, and sometimes it's a group that comes to you, and you know what, buddy? They are so wound up, and they are so, you know, emotional about something. And you know what? When people get emotional and they're trying to sell you on something, I'm telling you, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a dozen times or 100 times, and next thing you know, they're exaggerating this and exaggerating that and giving a half-truth here. And you know what the most frustrating thing to that group is? When somebody just won't get emotional with them and say, slow down a little bit now, because I want to take notes. They don't want you taking notes. They just want you to feel something. This man is not fit to live. Just take our word for it. Listen, you know, that's how they got Jesus crucified. That's a, you know, listen, slow everything down. Okay, you read a headline. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that happened. Well, you might want to read the entire story. By the way, you might want to wait a couple days and find out the rope had been hanging in the garage for months and months and months, not just. I mean, let's not let the facts get in the way. Let's just throw a headline out there and everybody go into a frenzy. And let's not worry about facts. I mean, they could get out. Facts could get in the way of us accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish. Come on now. Folks, listen to me. Sometimes you'll see a headline and you know what? You'll think, oh, that's terrible. But wait a minute. Somebody's going to do that to you one of these days. Would you hope everybody just hears the one person say the thing that's not based in truth and judge you? Or would you hope that people would say, okay, I hear you. Well, let's see how this plays out. And by the way, you know what? Let's hear the whole matter. Not just part of it. Let's hear the whole matter. Folks, I mean, I'm honestly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the press insulting the intelligence of the American people. I'm tired of it. And you know what? I don't think it's working. I think it's working on some. But I think that I'm praying there's still enough Americans with enough common sense and with a high school, at least a high school education, that can open a book and read it, or open an article and read it, or can search the same things they can search and get all the facts. Be careful what you just grab and go running with as a banner. Because sometimes, as Paul Harvey said, you'll find out later the rest of the story, and you'll look pretty foolish when you hear the rest of the story. So riot is orchestrated with half-truths and out-and-out lies. Now, and what this creates, folks, is what is referred to as a mob mentality. So riots are usually being orchestrated, folks. They're orchestrated by a small group of people, sometimes that have nothing to do with your community, but they've got an agenda, and they're going to spew out a bunch of half-truths and outright lies. They don't want you to think. They want you to feel. They scream, help. We've got to stop this. And a bunch of people jump up and say, who's the problem? Where's the problem? He's the problem. I wonder how many Americans would have been right there in the mix grabbing the Apostle Paul and getting ready to tear him to pieces, and they didn't even know who he was or what he did. Remember that bat when the soldiers were taking him up and trying to get him up the stairs and trying to get him to safety, and he's asking him to stop, and he said, well, aren't you that Egyptian? And somebody had screamed out. There were so many things being said that they thought they had arrested some Egyptian who had a reputation for insurrection that had come to Jerusalem to stir up, and they didn't even listen. That's who cares about the facts? Well, we better care about the facts, all right? So riots then trigger a mob mentality. Now, preach, what are some of the biblical character traits of a mob mentality? All right, I'm going to give them to you quick, so get ready. All right, here we go. Number one, a mob mentality is emotion-driven, not intelligence-driven. It's emotion-driven, not intelligence-driven. I've already pretty much covered that, but if you look at chapter 21, look at verse 30, and all the city was moved. All the city was moved. And the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, forthwith the doors were shut. All the city was moved. Think all the city had time to figure out what was going on? Think all the city had time to figure out what the facts of the case were? Listen, sometimes if we're not careful, we see a group jump up and they're passionate about something, or they're angry about something, or they're fervent about something. And what we do is we get emotionally drawn into that situation. Listen, folks, a mob mentality is emotion-driven, not intelligence-driven. Number two, a mob mentality believes that there are, well, this is so important, listen to what I'm going to say, young people. A mob mentality believes that if there are enough people doing something wrong, it must be all right. And that is happening over and over and over in America. A mob mentality believes that if there's enough people doing something wrong, it must be all right. And you know what? That's what's happening in our inner cities today. And it's what's happening right now. Folks, these people were moved from all over the city, and all of a sudden they're following what they're hearing, this piece of information and this piece of misinformation and this lie and this half-truth, and everybody's pointing at the same guy. And next thing you know, I wonder how many people were involved in the laying on of their hands of Paul to kill him, that didn't even have any idea what was going on. But if this many people are mad about it, then I should be mad about it too. Or you could think. Or you could get the facts. Or you could stop getting caught up in every little emotional thing that happens around you. Come on. There's mob mentalities on the internet. I mean, that's people just follow it. They follow this story and this, you know, this gets the most, this is trending, this is getting the most hits, and everybody runs to this one, and then they get all up in the air about it, and the next thing you know, that gets old, so they run to this one, and they're all up in the air about it, and it's interesting, but while they're over here on this one, now all the facts are coming out about this one. And while they're over here riding that emotional wave, and then they're looking for the next one, they go over to another one, and all of a sudden, everybody else has got some sense. Come on, folks, listen to me. This is what the people that hate democracy and hate our republic, this is how they operate and how they're trying to destroy America. And sadly, on too many Americans, it's working. It's working. So mob mentality believes that there's enough people doing something wrong. I want to remind our young people, you know what? Wrong is wrong. and right is right. And I don't care if the whole rest of the world's doing something wrong. You're going to stand before God and answer whether or not you did the right thing. But there seems to be this idea that if I get enough people to go along with me and I get enough people to do this thing with me, then you know what? Because the majority believed it and the majority participated in it, then we must be right. Good. Now I tell that to Joshua and Caleb. Because folks, if you think about that, that was a big emotional, come on now. They stirred up the people to the point where they went to their tents and were wailing and crying all night, and they made an emotional decision, and for 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. Now men, listen to me. All the men in this room, listen to me. It's your job as the leader of your home to keep a handle on the silly emotions, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children. When you start reacting emotionally because people around you are being emotional, then you're acting like a woman and a child. That's right. Yeah, I said that. Don't you know it's 2020? You can't say things like, I know what year it is. I do. I check my calendar before I come. Come on. Come on. Ladies, you ought to be glad that there's somebody in your home that sometimes talks you off the cliff. Amen, amen. Well, four men that can say amen. The rest of you, get permission real quick. Would you just lean over and ask her if you can do it one time? Well, this is good for us. Amen. You know, come on. The kid comes back from school and he's all wound up and she's all wound up about something. And then mom, and dad comes home and said, well, why don't we make a call? No, let's kill him. Come on, come on. This is good for us. Amen. Amen. All right, I like being by myself. I don't mind a bit. Mob mentality believes enough people are doing something wrong, it must be all right. Okay, ladies, stop. Listen to me. Ladies, stop drumming up drama in the church. Okay, some of you drama mamas, you need to find something else to do. In fact, stop drumming up drama in your family. Find something else to do that's productive. It's good for us. Amen. All right. Good. Good. Hold on a second. Amen. All right. I can still amen myself. Amen. Is that okay, honey? All right. I'll make sure. Amen. Just want to make sure. Just want to feel what it was like to be some of you for a minute there. All right, good. Acts chapter 21, a mob mentality. I'm having fun. Folks, I've had a rough day. I just wanted to share the blessing, make sure y'all had a rough day too. A mob mentality often escalates into increased violence. And folks, if you see, and I read it, Acts 21, verse 30 and 31, you know what? They moved the whole city. They ran together. They took Paul. They drew him out of the temple. Okay, he needs to get out of the temple. Well, next thing you know, so they grab him and they drag him out. But wait a minute. All of a sudden, it starts turning violent. And as they went about to kill him, Acts 21, verse 35. Looky there. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. And this is the danger of a mob mentality. Because all of a sudden you get upset about something, a group of people get upset about something, and folks, come on, we've read the paper every day. There are innocent children being killed by these rioters. Okay, there are innocent people being killed by these rioters. It's amazing. It's all supposed to be because of one, what they said was an unjust death. So how many people do you have to murder? I'm sorry, but that's hypocrisy. You know those policemen that were shot in St. Louis? They had a wife and they had children. Why aren't you writing about that? By the way, they were the same color as you. Why aren't you writing about that? I mean, and pretty soon insanity's taken over. You know, I'm sorry, but if this murder was wrong, then these murders are wrong. Okay, but a mentality often escalates into increased violence. Number Number four, a mob mentality. Mob mentality often escalates into increased violence. Number four, a mob mentality is driven by confusion and misinformation. And we read in verse 33, then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Nobody knew. Everybody's throwing around bits and pieces of information. Confusion, misinformation. See, we see that in verse number 36. The multitude of the people followed after, crying away with him. And as Paul was led to the castle, he said to the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? And he said, canst thou speak Greek? He's surprised. I mean, you're an Egyptian. How do you know Greek? He wasn't an Egyptian. Acts 19, if you go back there to verse number 32, it says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And I love this little statement. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. You see this in the inner city. Folks, I'm telling you, I have spent time ministering in the inner city. I have watched a mob mentality. I've seen it in the neighborhoods. Where something starts happening on a street corner and everybody, you know, a couple kids get into a fight or something begins to happen or somebody starts screaming. And you know what you start seeing? From every block all around, all of a sudden people stop what they're doing, looking, and then they take off running. And you know what? People are shouting stuff on the way and some person says it's this or that might be your boy or I think I see so-and-so. And by the time they all get to the corner, nobody knows what's going on, but everybody's mad wanting to kill somebody. I have watched it with my own eyes. Okay, so this is exactly what was happening, okay? A mob mentality refuses to listen to reason. Chapter number 19, I like this, verse number 33. Look at chapter 19, verse 33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. I mean, Alexander saying, wait a minute, give me a chance to just explain what's going on. Did they? Were they interested? Verse 34, but when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out. Did you get that? About the space of 2 minutes? No. 20 minutes? No. 2 hours. Cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. I mean, let's not listen to reason. Let's not listen to the other side. Let's not see if there's an explanation let's just decide and then start screaming. And not listen to reason, okay? A mob mentality believes this. Put your seatbelt on. A mob mentality believes if you chant something long enough and loud enough, people will believe it even if it's irrational and untrue. Excuse me, but Diana wasn't great. She was a false god. Hey, she didn't fall from Jupiter. But don't let the facts get in the way. Think about what it says. A mob believes that if you chant something long enough and loud enough, people will believe it even if it's irrational and untrue. And again, they want to do this with emotion. They want to keep screaming it and screaming it, and you're waiting for them to stop so you can say, could we just put what you're saying under the microscope? No! Could we let common sense in? No! Is it okay if I might express a different viewpoint of that? No! That's what's happening in the United States of America right now, okay? Acts 22, verse 22 and 23, a mob mentality causes men to act in a shameful way like beasts instead of humans. Notice this, verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, is not fit that he should live. And as they, now picture it, come on, those of you who got a good imagination. And as they cried out, and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. Okay, are you picturing this? So, finally, he's just trying to tell them what he's there for and who he is. And he's trying to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And they start screaming, away with such a fellow. He's not fit to live. He's not fit to live? Why? Because he has a different opinion than you? In other words, if they don't agree with us, they should die. Pastor Riker just texted me and he said, I had a friend just come back from Lowe's, one of the men church members. He said he walked in and he was had his mask in his hand and he hadn't put it on yet. And he said a guy walked right up to him, not a employee of Lowe's, but just a customer, and said, I hope people like you get the virus and die. Oh, so he has a different opinion about face masks than you do, so he needs to die. We better listen to what's being said, folks. Because we are starting to cultivate a culture that's just like Nazi Germany. Come on. Where all of a sudden, if you don't agree with certain things, you should die. Think about that. Wow. And so I picture all these, when it finally settles down and the riot's over and the teenagers come home and, you know, they walk in the house and mom's sitting there. Where you boys been? Oh, man. I'm going to tell you something. We were part of a movement. We did something amazing. And mom would say, where's your clothes? Oh! Why is there dirt all over you? I don't know, but we showed them. I like how nervous I'm making some of you. This is awesome. We better start looking this thing through biblical eyes and understand how Americans are being manipulated. And Americans are being manipulated right now. You know what they need to do? Turn the emotion off. Turn their brain on. Get off the streets. Start reading the facts. Start reading the statistics and realize that most of them are being duped. They're being little pawns in the devil's game to destroy America. So, preacher, how is the Bible tell us how to deal with the mob? Acts 21, verse number 31. As they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band, and all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Tidings came to who? The chief captain of the band. That all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Verse 32. Who immediately. These would be the people that are in charge of keeping the peace. Okay. Who immediately took soldiers and centurions. By the way, these were Roman soldiers, Roman centurions. You didn't mess with these people. You didn't mess with these people. Okay. And ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they what? You know why? Because all of a sudden the authorities were here. Because there was a fear in going against the law. How's that compared to defund the police? Okay, preacher, how is a mob best dealt with? The mob was stopped by well-armed, well-trained men who were given the authority to restore order. And I'm not slamming our police. They're being put in a no-win situation. Because you know what? They are being told that they have to enforce the law, but then they're being cautioned by the powers that be that if you do so, you could end up sideways with the law by just doing your job. And you know what, folks? The criminals are understanding this, and that's why crime is skyrocketing in all of our inner cities right now, because they feel like they're untouchable. And the police can't do anything about it. And I'm telling you, we're setting this country up for some dark days. Because if we get the mentality and we create a generation that believes they are above the law and they can break the law, and if they do so, there's nothing in the world that anybody can do about it. We're in trouble. The mob was stopped by a well-armed, well-trained men who were given the authority to restore order. Number two, the accusations were investigated by those interested in getting the facts, not driven by emotion. Town clerk gets up in chapter 19, verse 35. He appeased the people. You know what he says? He says, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana? In other words, you didn't have to chant it for 2 hours. That's who we worship here. Okay, and the image that fell down from Jupiter. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be what? Quiet and do nothing rashly. Now here is a politician that ought to get reelected. If everybody in a place of authority in America, every governor, every mayor, would be this voice in their community, then you know what? We wouldn't have what we're having going on. Okay? We've got the police force trying to do one thing, and they're having their legs chopped off by the powers that be in the city, and it's wrong. Notice this, for you have brought thither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and the Trophimus which are with him have a matter against any man, watch this, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Now, folks, listen to me. Law and order breaks down. All of a sudden, our judicial system is ignored. All of a sudden, everybody begins to think they're above the law. And they can do whatever they want, say whatever they want, hurt whoever they want. America's in trouble. Okay, when we had that 100-man march, we carried 50 American flags. We carried military flags. But we also carried flags in support of our law enforcement officers. And I'm not saying that every one of them is perfect. I'm telling you what, you can't point to one group of people on this planet where you don't have a couple bad apples. But that does not give us a right to be lawbreakers because a very few of them broke the law. Okay? And by the way, you know, all this supposedly started because of some law officer that crossed boundaries. And by the way, I think they arrested him immediately, and I think they've charged him, and I think he's going to have his day in court. So if they reacted properly, what are we doing? Okay? But again, let's not let common sense get in the way. Let's just get fired up. Let's just be emotional. Let's just start screaming. Let's start chant. Let's find things to chant all the time. If we chant them long enough, then somebody might believe it. Or Americans can take a step back and they can read and they can think and they can look at the accusations and compare them to the statistics. Facts are stubborn things. No, this is good. Facts are stubborn things. But you know what? The accusations were investigated by those interested in getting the facts. They said, there's a place to take care of this, and it's not on the street, and it's not screaming, it's not hollering, and it's not murdering somebody. Okay, the last thing, the rioters were reminded that breaking the law was not the proper way to accuse someone else of breaking the law. Verse 19, verse 40, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. You know what this man said? By the way, when he got done, the Bible said when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. When he dismissed them, they went home. You know why? Because someone with some courage stood up. Somebody in authority got up and said the things that might not have been popular and may not, maybe it didn't feed all the emotion, but it was 100% correct. And you know what? He appealed to their rationality and he appealed to their intellect, and they stopped and they listened and they said, let's let this play out in the court of law, and that's what they let happen. But folks, you say, preacher, why in the world take time? Because we better see what's happening right now in light of the last days. Because you know how they're eventually going to be, come on, during the tribulation period, dragging around guillotines, being pulled by paddy wagons and dragging Christians out and chopping heads off. You know how we're going to get to that point? Because of a mob mentality. Not because of the facts, not because of intellect, just because somebody, if everybody hates them, then I'm supposed to hate them too. If everybody says they're wrong, then they must be wrong. Instead of taking a step back, actually looking at the facts, figuring it out, trusting our system, amen, trusting our system, allowing justice to run its course, and acting like, can I say this word? Americans. Americans. Acting like Americans. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as we study this out tonight, it will help us to take a look, take a view of what's happening around us. And Lord, again, to view it with a Bible perspective. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help America. We do pray for our law enforcement officers, Lord. They're on the front lines. Pray for our politicians, Lord. Both sides of the aisle. That some common sense would prevail. We pray, Lord, for law and order to be restored to our country. We pray for justice to be served, but served according to the Constitution of the United States. Pray, Lord, that we get soon back to a place and time where people can visit some of these beautiful cities and beautiful communities once again and enjoy America and not have to be fearful what they might run into. Lord, we're beginning to look on TV like a third world country. Help us, Lord, to go to the Bible and from the Bible get some principles that will help us to once again view life in the proper perspective. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.